You are listening to a Campfire Firecast.
I'm talking to Jonathan Goldsmith, recent Campfire member, and Nina Runa Essendrop. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, close enough.
Who are collaborating on what sounds like a wonderfully exciting Campfire London Summer Solstice event in June. More about that in a minute, but I wanted to ask how the two of you met up in the first instance.
Nina was over in London for a festival called The Smoke, and she was running one of her LARPs there called Human Experience, and I came and participated, and I was blown away. It was a really amazing experience to have. It was both very different to, but there was a lot of similarities from my background as a therapist and a trainer and someone who works with trance. And I kind of just came up to Nina afterwards and said, I loved your work. And we, a conversation came from that point onwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, possible collaborations and just ideas. And, you know, I think having your call out for the Solstice Beacon gave us a context, a time and space to work on how to collaborate on something together.
There'll be a lot of people who don't know what LARP is. I mean, I happen to know that it's live action role playing, but do you want to say a bit more about that and how your interest developed in it?
Yeah, it's originally a hobby media. It's originated maybe in the games and then like plays in different ways, like from the Dungeons and Dragons fantasy stuff. But it's developed a lot in the last 15 years or so, 20 years. So now it's like, now it can be everything, but you can LARP students in high school, you can play weird creatures without a real context, or the basic is like a lot like kids playing, that you all agree that you are in this fiction, you are these characters, you have some rules for how to engage with this. Yeah, I don't think it can be everything.
Do you think us grown-ups could do with a bit more play in our lives?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot to learn from play, a lot to joy to be had.
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, the idea of play being something that is so important, that to, you know, when I work, you know, I work both therapeutically, but I also work in this idea of enrichment and creating workshops for people to explore possibilities. And often we use play as a frame. You know, very much influenced from our field was an anthropologist and thinker called Gregory Bateson, who did a lot of studying and work around how play is at the heart of how we learn. So I think very much you seeing from my perspective, which is kind of an outsider to the LARP scene, what LARP can offer as a transformational tool. And I think the space that we're exploring is how to shape that and what that may look like.
Yeah, we can get on to a bit more detail about the event in a minute, but I just wanted to ask you, Jonathan, when you first encountered Campfire, what were the things that resonated for you?
I think it's interesting. We were just having this a discussion about this. It's about community. I think there's so much that's to be learned from being in community with other people, you know. And I think there's, you know, social change is something that in one way or another has always been something that I have been committed to and passionate about. You know, looking back from my time when we met in through clubs, there was always that element where we were, it was clubbing, but there was always, you know, the kind of schnoos, the alternate newsstands, and there was the political kind of social change, you know, so there was a lot of different communities together. And then seeing Campfire was like, it was a real chance, I think, to just connect with other people. And I think out of connections and out of people coming from their own backgrounds and seeing the space that emerges. For me, that's what Campfire's about, and it's so exciting. And I think not just having it online, but having a real life, you know, having both them, utilizing the online technology to facilitate offline spaces and transformation and projects is incredibly exciting.
And how do you think the sense, you mentioned when we first met, which was early Big Chill days, so mid-90s, how do you think the zeitgeist relating to community and people getting together, how do you think that's changed in this time? And again, putting it in the Campfire context, how do you see that sort of going forward?
I mean, it's a really good question. I think something that I think at the beginning, technology was a way to connect. But I think the studies that are coming out now for the millennial generation is that there's a 30% drop in empathy and social skills through people disconnecting through technology. So I think community has actually become more and more important. You know, it was something that you had to find the others who were like you back in the 90s. And then you kind of found, even if you came from a very different discipline, it was something you would seek out, and you'd find people who would sing your song and resonate. Now I think there's almost so much information, so much access to different types of communities, that real connection that actually translates into action is something that's needed more and more. And I think that's one of the joys of Campfire, is that it's a group of like-minded people from a variety of different backgrounds coming together and just exploring what we can do together to make a difference.
Mm. So tell me, how did the idea first germinate in your mind for the Summer Solstice event?
It was kind of joining the dots. It was, you know, you've kind of been talking about, you can put the idea, the document about the Global Beacons idea out. And at the time I was talking to Nina, I just thought it would be really nice to create an experience that people can have, that people can explore. And it felt like it's like writing a new ritual for the solstice, really. You know, it's like creating something that's a ritual, that's an experience, but it's much more than that. And again, my experience of Nina's work was, it's about what's the human experience, and what, especially in this particular lab, it's about connection. And it just felt like a really good fit to explore working community with Nina, to work in our Campfire community and create something for the Campfire community and beyond. Yeah.
It's particularly exciting for me because it moves it into quite new territory for Campfire, really. The amount of arts in general that we've had in our events, and particularly relating to, I suppose, theatre and play is how I'd probably describe this, has been very limited. So it's really exciting and refreshing to see you pushing Campfire events in a new direction.
Yeah, I think there's something about having it, creating it, you know, creating an experience and seeing what it does for people.
Yeah, lab also in some ways are very because it's participatory and something you do together. There's a lot of community in that. Like, it's not something that is presented to an audience as much as something that you create together in the moment within a frame. And I might, well, yeah, for that reason as well.
And I think it's also breaking down the barriers between audience and performer, which is something I suppose I started to be interested in back in the Big Chill days, but we still had big stages and we still had big lighting rigs and PAs, so it was very much still about being entertained rather than just making our own entertainment, and that's why this is so exciting for me.
But then we were talking earlier just about Burning Man as an idea, as an aesthetic, where everybody is a participant. You know, everybody is there. There's no, you're there to be a fully active participant in the experience. It's not like the, it kind of breaks down the, or certainly you, certainly the idea is to break down, you know, be entertain me, there's a DJ, entertain me. There's much more of that sense where people are playing, you know, and often will inhabit roles or characters. And again, I think there's something about that, which I think is a reaction to the disempowerment that society can sometimes do, which kind of puts you into this kind of consumer audience role. So using LARP as a medium is a really interesting, I'm really excited for me. You know, Nina's teaching me so much about how, because it's got a long heritage and history. So it's like watching and learning from Nina, and seeing how, you know, some of my work where we have a lot of, where we cross over in a lot of ways, but just learning from Nina and just creating, and we think it's, and we talked about it as a LARP event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how important is ritual in all this? Because I know with the idea for the solstice and equinox beacons, there was for me a real resonance with getting back to aligning social change with the changes that are going on in the natural world, particularly with the seasons. And I thought, what better time to be thinking about how we can change things both within ourselves and within politics and within community than to do it on those key days of the year. Was that an important part of your decision on this?
I think it adds something really, really great to this. As you're saying, like it creates a space for something new to happen when it has this ritualistic kind of feel to it, and being like a special day, and also like using nature, using light as a embedded part of the how the Slav is played for this
this event. And for me, I think we've lost, you know, as communities break down, we lose the rituals that used to sustain us. I think ritual, you know, in certainly in my work, both therapeutically and transformationally, is about helping people almost either reclaim ritual or learn to create new rituals. You know, there's a saying in therapy that, you know, effective therapy is relationship, is having intention, and everything else is just ritual. So it's to understand that all play, I mean, you know, anything that's done slightly repetitively is ritual. And I think there's very much a lot of that element in what we're putting together for the solstice.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, it sort of chimed with me that you wrote an article for the site, Jonathan, about the health benefits of taking part in a beacon. And I think this all links in, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's something, again, you know, I had an experience of playing Nina's work, of being a LARPer, you know, and I mean, as a kid, that was a role player. It was something, using my imagination was something that was, you know, a great source of joy for me as a kid. And it, Nina, the first time I'd LARPed in something like 20 plus years. And I just had this really beautiful experience of freedom, of play, of enjoyment, of connection. It just felt so, I was like, I want to know more about this. Because again, it's often a lack of freedom or a lack of connection and a lack of enjoyment are some of the causal factors in why people can experience things like social anxiety or stress or depression. So it's almost like recognizing that this is a real, can be a tool for positive transformational experience.
And what do you hope people will get out of the day?
One of the main things in the LARP is to appreciate moving and sensing. Like, it's something we do all the time, but often forget that we're doing, and that There's a lot of joys to be had and just noticing these things.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's about appreciating the joys of being human.
Yeah.
You know, and taking some time to really just enjoy the wonder and magic of actually, you know, all these things that we often take for granted. Mm-hmm. You know, so much of our processing happens unconsciously, and we're often away in our minds, you know, with, you know, thinking about work or thinking about away. We forget we've got these bodies, mm-hmm. and our bodies can be a real sensuous experience of just remembering what it's like to, you know, taste chocolate or have a smell.
Yeah, and also like this as shared experiences. Like all the thoughts in our heads is very much our own, but this, we taste the same, or we smell the same things, and we have these experiences together, or we can mimic each other's movements and then understand a bit more about the people that we are together with.
Yeah, and it's also about connecting at a very base level. You know, it's connecting at a very, it's how we connect anyway. We connect often, we're not, you know, obviously I'm aware through my training how we connect unconsciously, but it happens often so quickly that we forget that there is so much of connection is about feeling into someone else, having feelings, knowing, you know, the science is in that we have intelligence, we have neurons around our heart, we have neurons in our belly, it's the enteric nervous system, it has the same amount of neurons that are in a small cat's brain, and that lives in our belly, and that is as valid as an intelligence as what we think of as consciousness. And to recognize this is the place that we connect out from, and you know, this experience I think is about as much as it's about what it is to have human senses, it's about how to also create shared experiences, right?
Yeah. I think it should be obligatory for politicians to go on these sort of event workshops.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's remembering what it's like to, you know, language and culture create social contracts, and too often that we just take these things for granted, you know, the collective, the social unconscious we live in, the cultural unconscious are things we don't really see the rules that are embedded there that we live by. And I think when you take away language, you start to remember, you start to drop all these other rules that you certainly some of the experiences that we're setting up you would not do in the normal day to day. So using play to explore that, it's kind of a very life affirming, I think, for me. It's interesting though, I Nina, I'd wonder, because it seems like there's a lot of, you know, having been an observer in kind of the LARP community, you know, LARP doesn't shy away from politics. It doesn't shy away from asking difficult questions. I wonder if, you know, we were talking about that, and if you could comment on that. Because it certainly is present.
Yeah, definitely. There's some really good initiatives in the Nordic countries. Also, like going to countries in war and LARPing with children to give them tools to deal with difficult situations and stuff like that. I think LARP is a really good media to create what's called like empathy. So by playing someone else in another situation, you get a broader frame to understanding other people or other cultures and other ways of thinking about the world. Yeah.
And I suppose that can help in any sort of conflict resolution as well, because I think we've seen this week how not to try and resolve conflict in the wider world stage. So, yeah, perhaps through playing out in these scenarios, we can understand a bit more about how to listen to each other, both in terms of voices and body movement and everything else.
Yeah, and like that, the design is also about creating small alternative worlds, fictional worlds. So it also gives an understanding of the structures in a society, of structures in a community, of structures in a situation, how people react to this and react to each other, and like I think that's great tools there that can be used for medical agendas as well.
Yeah, I find it fascinating that it's such a well-developed scene in some ways, and some of the scenarios that are explored are very challenging and ask challenging questions of us. And I think it's, to see that people want to ask these questions is really exciting. On site, it's really exciting because I think it's, there's a LARP, when I first heard about it, called Just a Little Loving, which is amazing. It basically is set in the 80s, and it deals with the HIV emergence in different alternative queer communities. And on the one hand, when I first heard it, I was like, this isn't something you play with, but listening and meeting the people who have designed it and have played it, it's an amazing tool for education and social change, and to give people a sense of an experience of what it would have been like to be in that time. And I met one of the people running it, he was an HIV educator, and I was like, yeah, I really understand that when done with respect and done with integrity, how these experiences can actually be incredibly transformational and incredible opportunities for growth and learning.
Do you want to say a little bit more about the structure of the day, in particular relating to the player roles and the audience roles?
Both groups are going to be workshopped before the play starts, and they'll be workshopped separately. So they're going to learn the different tools for how to interact with the lab and the experience and each other. And for the players, it'll be like 2 hours, and the audience 1.5 hours. And then they will meet, and the play will begin. And the players are the ones that have the fictional characters. They play ancient consciousnesses that inhabit human bodies to like learn to move and sense. And then the audience will be there to meet them up and take care of them and like summon them to this world as sources and beings. And then teach them like how to move and how to sense and how to do this with nuance and with all the details that human know how to do all these things.
Yeah, and I think it's really exciting to. We're also working with.
Lou Ersa, who's a Swedish, actually, musician.
Yeah, who composed the original soundtrack.
Yes, for this specific lab. She's like really intuitive and music and really responsive. It's beautiful.
And she'll be working with us she's going to be involved in some of the workshop and setting up some of the elements. We don't want to give away too much because we'd like people to have a live experience, but it's really great to have that element as well. So there'll be some she'll be singing live and working with, there'll be a live music element to it as well. It's really nice. And again, just to have more collaborators. And again, it's like Catherine Campfire asked the question, what can we do together? And I think, for this solstice experience, we're modelling that really and trying to do that in live. It's great, right?
So great, yeah.
Yeah, that certainly worked in the context of the Campfire Circle Singers as well. Doing 30 of us really building a project together was really exciting. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a similar, resonance is so, there's a resonance in musicality that is how we connect prior to language. It's why poetry works. It's why, it really connects into our unconscious.
It was really good at that, like with music, making people come together and making a union out of a lot of different voices.
Yeah, I think we'll be doing something similar to what you did. So it'd be really interesting to see it in another form. And then, we've got mechanics in place to bring you back into your bodies. And then I think the questions that we're going to start to let people think about is what difference is made to them, and how do you then bring that back into community? Some people, and then it's kind of an open frame of going, now you've had this experience of connection, of community, of being human, of remembering remembering what it's like to be in a human body and meet people in that way. You know, where do you want to start making a difference? And that's where we will, you know, the idea is it's to, it's, we hope we'll start to create a community in London around then creating a formal beacon around that. So then going, well, now we've had this as an experience, you know, you, what difference do we want to make? What changes do we want to do? What, how do we want to turn this into some kind of forward momentum pathway and then link back to, you know, the campfire.
Brilliant. And this is all being done in the wonderful setting of Waterlow Park.
Yeah, we're really lucky that Lauderdale House have agreed to work with us. They've been very generous. It's a beautiful space. And again, a lot of what we did yesterday were, when we went and we kind of did a design day, was like almost feel into the space and create something that's very respectful of the locus of place. And it's, you know, we've got an indoor option, but we're hoping for a glorious sunny or at least a dry solstice, because the idea that we'll be playing outside on the lawn with the view over Waterlow Park. And if you're exploring, you know, sensations, you know, just the view itself and the sounds and being outside in nature in itself is like, you know, it's like, again, it would be really interesting to see how you being in such a beautiful aesthetic affects the dynamic of the play and the LARP itself and the experience that people will have. Yeah, we're very excited to be there.
It's a very un-London setting in the middle of London, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, one of the things when I was talking to Catherine, who's the director of Lauderdale House, and she was showing me around the house. I mean, first off, they've utterly respected the heritage of the house. They've just had a refit, but there's so much of the original features that they've kept. So they've been really respectful. And Waterlow Park, which is what it's set in, was gifted as a park for people, as a garden for people that don't have gardens. And again, you know, that feels very resonant, you know, to be doing something in such a place with such a beautiful starting point.
Brilliant. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of this. So thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, we've really good. It's been great to chat to you. And we really look forward to, you know, sending out an invitation to, you know, people who are members of Campfire, people who may come across Campfire through coming to this experience and just seeing what we can create together, what people will bring, you know, it's something for everyone, really. And, you know, and we hope that it's just a beautiful event for the solstice that everybody can enjoy.
So you've already got quite a lively project that's been set up on the Campfire site where you're pulling together articles. That's obviously a good place for people to go if they're interested in the event and all the thinking around it.
Yes, and we'll be adding different think pieces talking about different. So it's a really good place to visit to find out more about this event and to find out more about Nina and to find out more about Lo and some of the thinking behind it. And so a great collection of articles. So yeah, Campfire is the place. So the Campfire Project place you can find the Solstice Experience Project. So
that's top level menu, click on projects and you'll see it probably as one of the first in there. It's chronological. Or just do a search for
A Solstice Experience.
You have been listening to a Campfire Firecast.